over to Bishop Jones. Everybody please stand as we receive our bishop. I say, everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again.
And see that the Lord is good.
Hallelujah.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let the sick say I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
Let the weak say I'm strong. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. God is my refuge and my strength. The very present help in trouble. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Let this. Well, thank you. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, hallelujah.
Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith God, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Job said, all the days of my appointed time, I'm going to wait till my change comes. Hey, hallelujah.
Glory,
glory, glory, glory, glory. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, I just love the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I say a lot of times when I'm going through stuff, I got scriptures. I just tell myself, hallelujah, amen. Glory to God. I have to talk to myself, speak the word into my circumstance. My experience with God lets me know that it works. Amen. Sometimes when I get weak, and hallelujah, I say, Lord, you said in your word, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall not might. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
They shall.
I said, now, Lord, renew my strength. I'm waiting on you. You can talk to God like that. You know, God don't mind you talking to him. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, he's a wonderful Savior. And it's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. And amen. I was glad when the 122nd Psalm says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, for our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. We bless the Lord today, and we honor each one of you here. Amen. To Sister Pastor Dr. Persis, to your second Sister Pastor Evangelist Jones, and amen, Deacon Ellis Smith, and amen, Mother Foles, and certainly to our devotional leader, Sister Jones, says that's amen. A gift. That's a gift that she has. And we appreciate Sister Smith. Amen. Amen. Leading us in that devotional service. So we're blessed to be here, and we don't have to tell you, but just mention that these are the last days. These are perilous times. Things that we are seeing that we have not seen before. I was telling my wife today, coming down the road, I said, look, back, I looked at the weather forecast. And
yes.
I looked into October, 90-some degrees, some days in the 90s. I said, what? You know, that just not heard of. You just don't hear anything like that. But God has given us a warning that he's coming soon. And I don't know about you, but the old song that they sang when I was coming, I'm sending up my timber every day. Amen. Because we know that God is going to come back for his church. Amen. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Amen. Won't be time to get ready. We have to be ready. The song says, be ready when he comes. He's coming again so soon. Don't let him catch you with the works undone. He's coming again so soon. So we're blessed today to be here. And I appreciate all of you that have made it out to the house of the Lord on this day and to worship him. And thank God for every testimony we've heard, every song of Zion that's going up before the Lord. It falls upon me now to look into the word of the Lord and impart unto you what the Lord has imparted in my spirit. So we're going to look in that two scriptures there. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verses 56, 62, and Mark chapter 13, verse number 13. Amen. Luke 9, 56 and 62.
Yes.
And we're going to look at Mark chapter 13, verse number 13. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's on the board there, so we're going to read this and we're going to the word of the Lord. I love him. Out of the book of Luke chapter 9, verses 56 through 62, he says, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.
Yes.
And they went to another village. And it came to pass that after they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, yes, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. How many people have said that, Lord, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life? And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me to go to bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Let me go talk to my kinsfolk and tell them I'll see them later. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. God said, I don't want no quitters in heaven. In Mark chapter 13, verse number 13, it says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake.
Yes.
But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So we're going to speak to you today on this topic, it says, stay in the race.
Yes.
Subtopic, finish what you started. Maybe seated. Amen. Stay in the race. Finish what you started. I remember years ago, well, it was a whole lot of years ago, probably about maybe 70 years ago or so. Some of y'all weren't born then, but 75 years ago or so. I read an article when I was a child, and it says, quitters never win, winners never quit. That stuck with me all of these years. I just happened to pick up a newspaper, and it said, winners never quit and quitters never win. But I think that should apply to us that are in God.
Yes.
There are so many people falling by the wayside, and the devil is a trickster. He's tricking church folks, amen, to miss church,
yes,
to engage in their personal activities.
Uh-huh.
And God, and that, first of all, that's a violation of his commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In all of thy ways, he said, acknowledge me and I will direct your path. But the devil is dingling all kinds of things in front of people, and they say, well, I can't go to church today because I got to go to this and I got to go to that. Amen. I never put anything before my God. I remember coming up.
Hallelujah.
And I had sons, three sons, and they were involved in football and basketball. Hallelujah. But I never miss church or Bible class to go watch one of their games or watch them practice.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. I had a son that was a great baseball pitcher, my verdict of my namesake. And they needed him on their team so bad because he was the best pitcher they had. They said, if he's going to pitch, you're going to have to pick him up because I'm going to church. Amen. So that's what they did. Praise God. But I didn't take my time out and say, I'm going to go and see my son. And no, I put God first. And I have enough faith in God to believe that I'm still living today because I've acknowledged God. It wasn't anything that I was doing, but there's a thing called favor. I want to do things like the person that would obtain the favor of God. So no matter what trap the enemy sets for you, if the favor of God is on you, you don't have to worry. What they're trying to make somebody, curse somebody. He said, I can't curse who God has blessed. Hallelujah. Sometimes the devil recognizes, I can't seem to get to him, because the hand of God is upon you. Jesus says, in the text, he said, listen, I want you to just follow me. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple direction, pretty simple request. God is asking someone else to follow me. But he said, Lord, wait a minute, somebody died. I got to go. I go to the funeral. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Might sound cold to you, but he was trying to get over to us. Don't put anything before me.
Right.
Then he said to another one, look, come follow me. He said, yeah, okay, but can I go went back and tell my friends bye first? He said, no. He said, listen, when God gives you a set of instructions, don't give him an excuse why you can't do it. Listen, I know sometimes we get on the phone, we put people on hold, but you can't put God on hold. When God says it, you got to go now. Hallelujah. Sometimes we wasted a lot of time, and we know that God has directed us to do certain things, but we say, I got to go do this. I got to go do that. We come all kinds of excuses. We live in an excuse-prone generation. We live in an excuse-prone church. Folks got all kinds of excuses why they can't come to the house of the Lord. And most of those excuses are frivolous. I made up my mind a long time ago when I got in the house of the Lord, I got in to serve God. I even made a promise to God. I told God when I really decided to give my life over to the Lord, I was back there in a little room getting ready to be baptized, and I talked to myself, and I talked to God. Here's what I said to the Lord. I said, Lord, if I don't mean and not going to stick to or carry out what I'm about to do, don't even let me be baptized. That's pretty much what I said. Don't even let me go in that water if I'm not serious about the church. So I went in there baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that was maybe for some of y'all weren't born back in about 1962. Amen. That's a long time ago. All of those years, and I made that commitment to God. That's why when I get ready to come to church, I don't let anything hinder me. Amen, amen. I know I got to be here at a certain time. I make sure I know how long it's going to take me to get here. I give myself about a 30-minute cushion to get here, you know, so I don't accidentally run late. Hallelujah. Because that's the commitment I made to God. And I believe because of that, I have been able to have the divine favor of God. Lord, if I start telling you, and I've told you before, but I'm not going to go into all that today, but the things that God did for me when I didn't even ask. I mean, Lord, I mean, it blows my mind sometimes. And even the world didn't understand why you got this or why this happened. I said, well, I didn't ask for it. God just told somebody else to do it for me. That's my he said that's my favorite. That's my favorite servant. That's my faithful servant. Just do it for him.
Yes.
And they would come to me and ask me to take this or take that promotion. Hallelujah. I tell you, I don't ever remember any promotion I ever got that I applied for. Y'all, this sounds strange to you, but they came to me and asked me. Now y'all better listen. I'm trying to tell you how to get stuff.
Yeah.
When you have God's favor, God will make folks do stuff for you.
Amen. Amen.
And they don't even know why they did it. But I did that all of those years. God is good. So he says to us, if you put your hand to the plow, once you make that commitment to God, and you go back on that commitment, God says, we are not fit for the kingdom of God. Because I don't want them kind of folks in heaven. If they quit down there, get them up here, they'll quit up here. Kingdom of God, we got to stick with it. I'm not going to be long. You talking about divine favor. You remember in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, when the apostle Paul was destined to go to Rome so he could be meet his sentence, and they put him on a ship. That Paul pretty much told me, now look, I perceive that this is going to be a bad journey. I don't think we ought to go out there, y'all, but they didn't listen to him. You know, sometimes when you give folks advice, they don't listen. They just go and do what they want to do. But he said, I perceive something bad is going to happen.
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing this.
Yes.
But they got out there anyhow and got on this ship, and the Bible said, but he said when they got out there, a tempestuous wind, a big, almost like hurricane came up, and they're out on the boat, and then wind started blowing, the boat started rocking and moving and mopping and humping, and they say, oh, everybody got scared, oh, we're gonna drown. And there were 276 people on that boat. I mean, that boat was, the wind was blowing so hard, but you see, but Paul, being a man of God with God's favor, of all of those 276 people on that boat, God only spoke to one person. Y'all? Yeah. Woo. Because God, and Paul said, listen, y'all, oh, y'all, don't everybody ready to jump off the boat.
Yes.
Now listen, let me tell you something. At least let the boat throw you out. Don't jump out. Amen. That doesn't make any sense. Why are you going to jump out of the boat into the water? As long as you're in the boat, at least you're not drowning yet. But maybe the boat won't sink. Sometimes people jump out of the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The only place of security, they jump out of the ship. Paul said, listen. He said, listen, Lord. He said, I'm paraphrasing. I heard from the Lord, and he told me, if you want to be saved, you have to abide in the ship. Amen. Stay in the ship. Stay in the church if you want to be saved. He said, abide in the ship. If you abide in the ship, nothing gonna happen. There were over 14 days and night on the sea. Well, you couldn't see the wind blowing in darkness. You couldn't see land nowhere. Can you imagine being on a ship in a sea 14 days and nights? Neither sun, nor moon, nor stars appeared. I couldn't, just plain darkness. And the wind kept on blowing.
Yes.
So the Bible said when they let loose of the ship, they just said, okay, let it go. And the ship ran into something and just began to break apart. And they had some prisoners on that ship.
Yes.
And the captain said, maybe we better kill these prisoners unless they escape. Paul said, no, don't bother them. Leave them alone. Uh-huh. He said, but don't you worry. God said, we're going to make it safely. He said, abide in the ship. And when the ship ran aground and broke in pieces, they said, folks grabbing in. He said, those that can swim, y'all go ahead on a swim. Go on to the bank. But those who can't, just grab a hold of anything that's a part of that ship.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, this is a mystery. If you grab anything that is a part of that ship, you're going to be saved. If you grab anything that's a part of the church, Lord have mercy, you're going to be saved. So the Bible said, even though they couldn't even swim, they grab a hold of a board, and he said, every one of them came safely to land. Only because they stayed in the ship.
Yes.
They didn't jump out when things looked bad, but they just stayed in the ship.
Yes.
Sometime in the church. Amen. When everything is going smooth, folks are happy to run, hallelujah. But soon as a little trouble comes, they're ready to bail out. But he says, anybody who put their hands to the plow and not look back, God said, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. So in that instant, 276 people made it safely to land because one man in that ship had the divine favor of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got the favor of God, God will do things for you that are mystify the world. Well, how did you get that? How did you get that? You got what? How? Well, God did it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Stay in the race. Finish what you started. You know, when you're running a race, you're not going to win the race if you stop. I've never known anybody to start in the race and declare they winner when they quit. Not one. They only declare the winner if they won, they cross the finishing line. You cannot race, you cannot declare the winner in a race unless you finish on across the line. And sometimes the devil will get you almost to the finish line and make you just give up. Running all of the years for God, but somehow the devil puts a stumbling block in your way. When you go through all of that trouble and trials and persecution and almost at the finish line, and the devil comes talking to us about, well, this, that. And we'll stop and listen to that rascal. God says, if you quit the race, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Stay in the race and finish what you started.
Yes.
Now, Paul was a good teacher, a mentor of his son Timothy. He gave Timothy some very good, sound advice. It's good to have somebody in your life that'll just give you some sound advice sometimes when you don't even understand, but they're going to tell you just the way it is.
Right.
I want people to be straight up with me. Just tell me like it is. Don't sugarcoat it and tell me, just tell me how it is. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1 through verse number 1 through 3, he said, listen, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong where? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Then here's what he told him. Timothy, I want you therefore to endure hardness. No, anybody listen?
Yes,
he said,
yes.
Endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Go through some stuff. Prepare yourself to go through some stuff, to be persecuted, talked about, lied about.
Yes.
Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because sometimes we're in the race, folks ain't going to like you. See, but that's okay. I'm not in no popularity contest. You should not be doing what you're doing for the Lord that folks can applaud you and pat you on the back. Some folks won't do anything unless you pat them on the back and pump them up. No, I do it as unto the Lord because he requires it of me. Even the Apostle Paul, he could instruct Timothy to do these kinds of things because of his experience with God.
Yes.
And I'm almost through. But we're talking about staying in the race. Finish what you started. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, starting verse number 24, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, he said, listen, here's what happened to me as a preacher, as an apostle, as a bishop. That sounds like, once Jesus bear this cross alone and all this world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and that's a cross for me. So Paul said, yes, I am an apostle, but listen, even as an apostle, look what happened to me. He said,
he said
in verse number 24 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, of the Jews five times,
yes,
I received 40 stripes. Mm. They beat me five times, 39 stripes every time. Mm. What, the preacher? You mean they beat the apostle?
Yes, sir.
They beat the bishop?
Yep.
And and he kept on preaching, and somebody talked about you, and you quit, and nobody laid no hand on you, but you quit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Lord, I watch some fool through somebody hit him. Oh, Lord, but they quit because somebody didn't say something right to them. But Paul said, they beat me 5 times with 39 stripes. Then he says, 3 times was I was beaten with rods. Not only am I beaten, but they beat me 3 times with rods. Once I was stoned. They stoned the apostle, y'all. They stoned Paul and put him on the outside of town for dead. I mean, the preacher, if you want to preach, are you willing to be stoned? Will you quit the race because somebody stoned you? Paul said they stoned me and drug me outside of town and left me for dead. But he said, I didn't quit. I kept on preaching. He said, I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeying often, I've been on many journeys. In perils of water. In peril of robbers. In peril of my own countrymen. In perils of the heathen, all kinds of in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, out there with the bug, the spider, the bears, and the baboons, and he said, in the wilderness, I didn't have all the cushion pews. And I'm out in the woods, my goodness, going through stuff. In peril of the sea. In perils among false brethren. I've been with folk that just as false and crooked and looking at me in my face and telling me they're loving me and stabbing me in the back, and I knew it, but I didn't quit. Oh, Lord. Help us today, Lord. Can't quit. Listen, in weariness, I got weary sometime on my journey, but I stayed in there. Painful, I went through some pain sometime, he said, but I stood my grounds in watching. In hunger and thirst, sometimes I didn't have enough food to eat, enough water to drink, but I kept on preaching. That's what he says. In fasting often, I fasted many times. In cold and nakedness. Sometimes it was freezing out there. Didn't have no heat. But I kept on preaching. I stayed in the race. I didn't quit. Help us, Lord. He says, besides all of these things, now here's the biggie. He said, besides all this stuff I went through, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, the church folks raised in hell.
Yes, yes.
Give me a hard time. That's what he said. I still don't remember. The church folks messing up and clowning and doing this. He said, that, and I have all that on me. But I didn't quit. I kept on preaching. Then he says, see, sometimes when you're going through stuff and standing away, sometimes you just got to encourage yourself. You got to just tell yourself you're going to make it.
Yeah, yeah.
If no one else encourages you, you got to learn how to encourage yourself. You got to tell yourself, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it through this. I don't know how, when, or where, but I ain't going to quit. So he says, If I must glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. What I'm going, I glory in my stuff I'm going through. And I'm not crying anymore, but I glory in them. The more they push and pull and do everything, the more determined I am to make it. That's what he says. You have to be determined in your walk with God, because the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him out of them all. Which means, well, it says you're going to have to go through some afflictions now. Listen. He said, one time they put out a decree to kill me, put out a hit on me. The apostle, the bishop, they put out a hit on me. Yes. He says, in Damascus, the governor on Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. But you know what? And through a window in a basket, I was let down the wall and I escaped. But I didn't quit just because somebody had a hit out on me. I kept on preaching. Ooh, Lord have mercy. He's still talking to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. He said, persecutions. Preaching, he's talking about a preacher. The apostle said, here's what happened to me. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured. I went through it. He said, they persecuted me, they afflicted me in different cities. But look what it says. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Ooh.
Then he says, I'm going to give you an encouraging word. I went through all of this. But he said, yea or yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You got to arm yourself. The Bible says, as Jesus Christ suffered in the arm yourself likewise to suffer. Lord have mercy. And finally, we said, stay in the race. Don't give up. Finish what you started. You cannot win unless you finish. If you don't cross the finishing line, I don't care how long you've been in the race, if you don't stay in until it's over, you're not going to get the prize. And final scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Paul is getting ready to go to Nero's chopping block, to be beheaded. And they said perhaps he had a window where he can look out, he can see the gallows that they built, they're going to chop his head off. And he's looking out there. Yeah. So what do you do when you see impending doom coming? Well, here's what he said. Now instead of He's encouraging Timothy with all the stuff he's facing. He says to Timothy, but wash thou in all things, endure afflictions. Anybody listening? Endure, which means you go through it. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Not because some folks are patting you on the back and tell you how great you are and how you blessed, when they tell you it ain't no good. You still got to keep going. Oh, God, I thank you. He said, because, then he says, for now I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I see the chopping block out there. But you know one thing, Brother Timothy? I fought a good fight. He said, I went through all that stuff that I went through. My final testimony is I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Didn't give up. I finished what you started. I kept the faith. And because I didn't quit, because I kept the faith, because I finished my course, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, or at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. Stay in the race. Finish what you started. He that endureth unto the end shall be saved. I want to be saved. So in order for me to be saved, I got to keep on pushing. Keep on trucking, they say. Whatever my lot, God, you taught me to say, it is well. It's well with my soul. Doesn't feel good, but it's well with my soul. And I'm not going to give up. I'm going to finish the race. Put your hands together and praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Follow Jesus. No turn.